Morning. Thank Kyle for reading that for me. We'll get into that here in just a little bit. Imagine with me, if you will, for just a minute, in your most vivid way, that you have a mirror in front of your face, and you're looking at yourself. Maybe your hair looks good, maybe it doesn't, I don't know. We'll see the skin complexion and maybe what you have on, your tie's not adjusted quite right, or you do like how you're looking or whatever. What do you see when you look in a mirror? Some mornings when I walk by a mirror at the house before I go to work as I'm getting dressed, I'm really not impressed with what I see anymore at my age. Other mornings it's way worse than that. Very rarely does it, wow, this is good. GQ's going to be calling. But we look at ourselves in a mirror and we see various things. Genesis 1 and 26. And hang on to that image. God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. I'm not sure where the seeds for this, for what I'd like to share with you this morning came from exactly. It just kind of put together two or three things and just seemed to kind of work on some things that I've been mulling around in my mind. We are made in the image of God, defined generally as someone who closely resembles another, and after the likeness of God, which is a similarity in character or nature between persons or things. And we all have a pretty good grasp of what that verse is saying. In Ecclesiastes 7 and 29, the writer there says that we were created upright, which is a neat thought, that God created us in His image. We resemble God in a lot of ways, but we went after other inventions. We kind of put our mirrors down and let ourselves get a little bit untidy and unkempt and moved on to other things. We closely resemble something, God, and we are similar in character or nature. When I was young, I used to read this verse or hear it taught in a class or in a public assembly or whatnot, and I used to think of more physical terms. But hey, this is pretty neat. God looks like me. You know, I'm created in the image of God, so that's got to mean that God must have a face. He has eyes, ears, maybe a nose, I don't know, but He's got arms and legs. God looks like me. And then as you get older, you come to realize that, well, wait a minute, this is probably a little backwards. Maybe God wasn't created in my image, that this isn't anything particularly that I need to be going in that direction, but rather on a spiritual level, that I'm created in the image of God, and rather than God having a form like me, then I need to have some things in my life that are more like God in His existence. I am to closely resemble my Maker, and I'm supposed to have His character. Mirror, mirror on the wall will be kind of our recurring theme this morning, and we want to keep that image before us. In a nutshell, when we leave here in a few minutes, everybody leaves feeling good about themselves because we resemble our Creator. And if we don't now, hopefully we can plant a few seeds to remind us of some things that we will feel better about our opportunities, our chances to look more like God. And that we can take today as a springboard to move in that direction if we need to. Maybe just a little primping. We can comb our spiritual hair or we can straighten our spiritual necktie. But hopefully we look like God. 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter and verse 18, talks about beholding in a mirror the glory of the Lord. And then it says that we are changed into the same image. So as God created us in His image in the beginning of our lives, and we look at these little ones, we've got a little tiny one back here in the back row, that's the image of God. You look in that little face and you see God. As we get older, we tend as humans to drift away from that. And our appearance maybe isn't so pretty to God. But we need to be changed back into that same image. Ephesians 4 and 24, we're told that we are to put on the new man created according to God. James 1 and 23 that Kyle read for us a moment ago, that if we are hearers only and not doers, if we just listen to this and kind of maybe goes in one ear and out the other, or we pick and choose the parts that are pretty convenient for us to use in our lives, and that's all we're doing, we're really not applying ourselves to the entire thing and trying to put it all together and fit it and make our lives fit into this plan, then it's like looking in a mirror and going on and forgetting what we saw, which some days we probably all like to do. But in our spiritual life, that isn't something that we want to do. We want to resemble God. This morning, for a few moments, let's look into that mirror and just see what should be staring back at us. Mirror, mirror on the wall. In 1 John, the 4th chapter, in verse 16, and as we think about the things that we're reading in God's Word, we look at these passages, they're all very familiar. I didn't do anything particularly out of the way here this morning. But let's see if we can see ourselves in this mirror. 1 John 4 and 16. We have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwells in God and God in him. And we use the word love for a myriad of things. I love pizza. I love fast cars. I like to watch NASCAR. Love baseball. Love this. Love that. And it's an overused word, and we all generally know what we're referring to, and we don't mean it the same way as I love my wife or my children or my grandchildren or whatever, or my Savior. It isn't that God loves us. And it isn't simply that God loves various things, but it is that God is love. And that takes it a whole step above, that he embodies the entire concept of love. When we look for definitions of love, and we look for examples of love, or we look for anything to do with love, we look at our Creator. God is love. And what a wonderful statement that is. 2 John, the 5th chapter, says that we are to love one another. And as we look in this mirror and we think of God being love, and then we have the idea that we are to love one another, we get maybe a pretty good idea of the kind of love that I should have for you and you should have for me and for each other. Verse 6 in 2 John, this is love, that we walk after his commandments. Again, to show this love, we take it another step. It isn't just a feeling, but rather it's an action, that we follow the things that God has given us to do with our lives. And it entails a whole lot of things that we don't have time to specify today or this week or this month. There are so many components of love that we show to each other as we walk after the commandments of our Father. We love one another and we show this love by obeying him. John 15 and 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Okay, so now we not only are following the commandments of God, but we have an opportunity to really demonstrate this by making large personal sacrifices. We think about our lives. You know, I'll get up in the morning and get ready for work, and I'll drive into Kansas City and do my thing and come home and, you know, whatever. Typically, on a normal day, I'm not asked to give my life for anyone else. Now, sometimes in the part of town that I start my day out in, you wonder a little bit, and some of the folks you see wandering around, what kind of weaponry they have. But I'm really not asked to sacrifice myself for someone else. And we understand that. What I am asked to do is to walk in the commandments of God and to make sacrifices for you, for the people I come in contact with. I'm to show my love. I'm to serve. I'm to help you. I'm to pray for you. I'm to comfort you. I'm to hold your hand when things are going badly in your life. I'm to rejoice with you when things are going great in your life. I'm to give you water when you're thirsty. I'm to put clothes on your back if you're naked. I'm to give you a blanket if you're cold. Food if you're hungry. And these are all little dink things, aren't they, as man would look at it. How big of a deal is it to buy someone a dollar McDonald's cheeseburger if they're hungry? It isn't. So when we look at what this greater love thing is, that we give our lives for our friends, which we're really not asked to do on a daily basis, but we are asked to do these, God asks us to do the easy things. If I'm looking at this right, how much easier is it to give a glass of water or to shake someone's hand and smile and wish them a good day, to help someone through a problem. How much easier is that than to die for someone? A death is really down toward the bottom of the list of things that I want to accomplish while I'm walking around. It's going to happen eventually, but it's not real high on my list of priorities. So God has given us the easy way out in obeying His commandments, as I see it. And we show our love by doing these things. Sure beats dying. 1 John, the 4th chapter, and the 21st verse. This commandment have we from Him, that he who loves God loves his brother also. We do our best, for the most part, I'm assured, to show our love for God. How much more, then, should we show the love for the ones that we come in contact with on a daily basis? How much easier should that be when I see someone, when I'm looking at you, when I have the opportunity, and we all do, of speaking and smiling and enjoying the fellowship later on after the service is over? Matthew 5 and 44, love your enemies. God is love. And as we look in the mirror that's in front of our face this morning and we attempt to see God in our visage, do we see God? Do we love one another? Do we make the sacrifices? Do we love our enemies, those that have hurt us or whatever? Do we obey the commandments of God to show this love? This is what we need to see in the mirror. God is love, and so should we be also. Mirror, mirror on the wall. God is rich in mercy, Ephesians 2 and 4. God isn't stingy with what He gives us. Matthew 5 and 7, again, these are all verses we're real well familiar with. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And we understand that, that as we give mercy, we will receive more mercy. Luke 6 and 36, be merciful as your Father is merciful. Same concept. And we have to ask ourselves this question, and as we look in our mirror, we see the love of God and we see the mercy of God staring back at us. And hopefully then, as other people look at me, they see this in me as I should see it in my mirror when I look at it daily. We hope and pray for mercy. And we ask ourselves the question that if God shows mercy to Reg, in the same fashion that Reg shows mercy to those he comes in contact with, what kind of mercy is Reg going to get? Okay? Well, the kind of mercy that Reg needs is a bunch. So for me to get the bunch, I'd better be giving out a bunch, if I may use a word like that. We expect and hope and pray that God forgives us along the same lines. Reg needs a lot of forgiveness. Daily, I need forgiveness. Is Reg passing out the forgiveness so God can forgive me? We expect God to be there for us, to help us and to serve us and to do things for us. Does Reg help and serve and do things for others so that God can see in that I deserve His favor and His blessings? Be merciful as our Father is merciful. When I look in that mirror, I had better see a merciful person because that's what God expects of us. And that's the only way that He will extend mercy and His forgiveness and His blessings to us, is that if we are doing these things to those we come in contact with. God is rich in mercy, not stingy. Mirror, mirror on the wall. Hebrews 6 and 18, God cannot lie. Wow. Wouldn't it be so neat if that could be said of us, that we could not simply lie? I want to turn and read a verse. I'm not going to even try and get through this one without looking at it because I can't do it. Deuteronomy 32 and 4. He is the rock, speaking of God. His work is perfect. We're looking in a mirror now at our Father. Do we see these things? For all His ways are judgment, a God of truth, not lies, and without iniquity, just and right is He. Do these things show back at us from our mirror? What a wonderful image. Ephesians 4:25, we're told to speak the truth with our neighbor. We are members one of another. And we get a little bit of imagery here that as we think of being members one of another and we're speaking truth with each other, the way we all need to fit together is like puzzle pieces. I'm bad at puzzles. I don't have the patience for it. I don't mind the little 63-piece puzzles, you know, with the pieces about yay big that I can actually see. And the colors make a little more difference, you know, to me. Those are all right. But we know what it's like to sit down and work with a puzzle and how they all fit together. And to have the completed thing, you've got to have all of the pieces, and they all have to interlock correctly. You can't sit there and take a ball-peen hammer and try and force one in there because you're about done and you've run out of patience and you want to put the thing back in the box and move on to something else. But they fit correctly. We are as close as body parts. We are members one of another. Okay? That's probably not the best looking little finger in the world. But you know what? The thing comes in handy at times. And I don't have the best vision of anyone in this audience by far. But I would hate to lose what little vision I still have. And yeah, I don't have much on top anymore, but it's still enough up there that part of the time it provides a little shade and keeps a little water off the top of my head. It still works, kind of. And I don't want to lose what little hair I still have. These body parts are important. And I guess what I'm trying to say is that everyone here this morning in this assembly, in this family, is important. You're a puzzle piece. And we can't complete the puzzle without all of us. We can't complete the body without all of us. Something's missing if we're not all looking in the mirror and seeing our Father look back at us. God can't lie. To speak the truth with our neighbor, and this is the relationship as a puzzle piece or a body that we've got to have with one another. In order to get to this point, to speak the truth, to be perfectly honest with one another, you know. We expect God to be truthful with us. We talked a little bit about the mercy thing. I expect when I open the Bible, when I read things out of there, for God to be honest with me. That when I read something in here that God says, if you do this, then this is going to happen to you, whether good or bad. I expect that to be true. God expects me to be truthful to those I come in contact with also. And if I'm going to expect it out of God, which I have no right to expect anything out of God, then God certainly has a right to expect it out of me. Revelation 21:8. This is an interesting verse. All liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. But notice the company that God puts liars into. The abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters. Lying's a big deal to God. We brush it off and say it was a white lie, or I didn't want to hurt somebody's feelings. Well, then don't say something. You know, we're better off just keeping quiet than to say something that we shouldn't say. And we can hash this, you know, what's a white lie and how far should we go, you know, till the cows come home. Bottom line is, we can't lie. Our Father can't lie. When we look in the mirror, we can't lie either. And that's our ultimate goal. And we've got to get that to the very bottom. We cannot lie. Matthew 12:34-37 tells us that whatever comes out of our mouth is a result of what's on the inside, and we understand that. We go to the fridge and we pull out a gallon of milk and we pour us a glass. It isn't going to be Diet Coke. It's not going to be a cup of steaming coffee. It's going to be milk, because that's what was in the jug. When I open my mouth and things come out, if they're good things, then hopefully it should be, that's an indication that I've stored some good things on the inside. And that's where these things are coming from. If my language or my actions are not what they ought to be as I look in my mirror, then that's a pretty good indication that I've got some things stored in there that I need to pour out real fast, like now, and replace them with something that is more in line with what my Father wants of me. By our words we are justified, and by our words we are condemned. And oh boy. When I stand in the day of judgment, and I've picked on myself a ton in writing this lesson, maybe that's why the Spirit helped me write this thing. I hope it helps all of us. But when I stand before God, my Creator, on the day of judgment, and He pulls out a book, and it's a yay whopping big thick book with the things that I've said that were just wrong, that weren't what I should have been seeing in my mirror. And I get to give an explanation, so to speak, of some of the things that I've said. I don't want to be in that situation because I'm going to be condemned by my words, or I'm going to be justified. We will give an account for our idle words. That being the case, let's make our words count. God cannot lie. And when we look in our mirrors, that's what we need to see out of ourselves. Mirror, mirror on the wall. 1 John 1 and 5, we read that as God was love, God also is light. In him is no darkness at all. The 7th verse in the same chapter, we walk in the light as he is in the light. Isaiah 58 chapter, verses 6 to 8 and verse 10, we're given some things that, we just look at the things that being a light, benefits of being a light in our lives. If we are alive, it loses the bands of wickedness. When we fill ourselves with this life, when we look in the mirror and we see a light reflected from our Father, it gets rid of the bands of wickedness. It relieves us of this oppression. It undoes heavy burdens. You know, it's way easier to be happy and optimistic and feeling good about things when the sun is shining. And we can go outside and it's 70 degrees and there's a gentle breeze blowing and there's a few fluffy clouds and birds are singing. It's a lot easier to feel good in a situation like that than it is to walk outside and the clouds are dark and the wind is blowing and it's starting to rain and you see lightning off in the distance and everything is just black and dark and bleak. It lets the oppressed go free, deals bread to the hungry, brings the homeless to thy house, covers the nakedness of others. Being a light just enables us to be in a situation where we can do wonderful, wonderful things. Matthew, the 5th chapter, verses 14 to 16. We are the light of the world. Think about that responsibility and that opportunity for a moment. We are the light of the world. We, husbands. We are to let our light so shine that two things happen. Okay? When we look in the mirror and we're seeing this light, two things have got to come out of this. These aren't optional. First, that our good works are seen. Okay? Now, we don't do things for praise, for a pat on the back, and I'm not doing good works so people go, wow, that Reg is a go-getter. Look at this. No. We want to stay in the background as far as that goes, but the works need to be seen. Reg doesn't, but the works do. Somebody needs to see me doing good things. Someone needs to see me mirroring. Didn't get that out well. My Father. Secondly, God is glorified. God is glorified by these good works. These two things have got to happen. And as we see this light and we reflect this light, our good works are seen and God gets the glory from these things. Mirror, mirror on the wall. Psalm 54 and 4, God is my helper. What a neat thought. To think that our Creator, our Father, our Judge, is my helper. Now, if that doesn't, just that thought does not help us get through a bad day, I can't imagine what is. We think of helping one another as we look in our mirrors this morning. 1 Corinthians 16 and 15 tells us that the household of Stephanas addicted themselves to serving the saints. They were just so caught up in it, they couldn't help it. They had to have this to feel complete, to feel good, to get through their day or their week. They had to serve others. They had to help. When we look in our mirrors, do we see this kind of addiction to helping others? We hope. We pray. Galatians 5 and 13, by love, this love that we talked about earlier, that God is, that we need to have in our lives by following His commandments and by doing these things for one another. By love, we are to serve one another. Galatians 6 and 2, we are to bear one another's burdens. And the interesting thing about this is I'm not bearing your burden as I see a burden. Something that may not be a big deal to me at all may be catastrophic to someone else. Those are the burdens. When it's a burden to someone else, you look at that at the grandkids. Something that might bother the two little ones over here. to me, you know, you laugh at it. It's no big deal at all. That's a serious big deal to a small person. To someone that's younger in Christ than I am. Something that's really tripping them up and they don't understand, that's a big deal. And those are the burdens that we are to bear. Not just burdens that we think are burdens. Well, that's not worth my time. It's a small. Well, maybe it is to me. But maybe it isn't to someone else. So we bear burdens as they appear to others. Galatians 6 and 10, we are to do good unto all men. John 13 and 14, the question is asked that if Jesus washed the disciples' feet, shouldn't we be washing one another's feet? Now there again, we're not going to be called on probably to do a lot of foot washing in our society today. Jesus didn't lower himself to do this. It wasn't a matter of lowering at all. It was a matter of love. It was a matter of service. It was a matter of showing someone that he cared. We don't lower ourselves to serve others by any means, if I understand this correctly. But it's a wonderful opportunity to do something great to a family member, to another puzzle piece. If Jesus can wash our feet, then we should be able to do anything for anyone that's here with us this morning. Luke, the 10th chapter, we have the story of the Good Samaritan. Now, what a wonderful story that is, and we all know it, so we won't go into it. But talk about being a helper. Talk about going above and beyond what you would expect a man to do. He didn't just bind the man's wounds. He didn't just call 911 and get help out there. And granted, situations are going to be different in our lives as we come across them. But what this guy did was that he took him back into town. And he didn't stop there. He took him to a place where he could be cared for and didn't stop there. Offered to pay for however long the man was there. I mean, his giving just went on and on and on. He looked in the mirror that day and saw the face of God. God is our helper. Finally, and we could go on forever with this, and some probably thinking maybe I've already done that. Mirror, mirror on the wall. In Acts, the 10th chapter, verse 34, we're told that God is no respecter of persons. James, the 2nd chapter, particularly verses 1 to 5 and 8 to 10, James really hammers this point, that there is no respect of persons. God created every one of us. He created us equal in His sight. We all are loved by God. We all have the same opportunity to look in a mirror and to mirror our God. And there isn't any difference. Whether it's an education level thing, whether it's a matter of money, whether it's race, color, whatever it is, it simply goes away. It doesn't matter. 1 Timothy 5 and 21, we're told to observe these things without preferring one over another. Romans 10 and 12, we're told that there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, that God is rich to all that call on Him. If this has ever hindered us in our service to mankind, and we look in our mirror this morning, then that's got to stop right now. If there are those in the family here this morning that we don't know very well, then those are the ones we need to get to know very well. And what a neat thing that would be. How much fun. God is no respecter of persons, and neither can we be as we look into our mirrors. Mirror, mirror on the wall. We are to closely resemble God, and I just picked up six things kind of at random this morning. There's so much to God we could talk about and think about. And if you all were to write these same notes, you'd probably possibly come up with six other things, and that's great. Because we need to resemble God in all of these things. We are to have the same character and the same nature as God. When we look in our mirrors, our spiritual mirror, we should see God. We are created in His image and His likeness. And Ridge had better resemble God. I had better be transforming myself to take on those characteristics. When others look at us, whether it's, you look around the building this morning, do it right now if you want to. Just look at the family that's assembled here this morning. And if we're all doing it right, we see God. We see God. We see the love. We see the lack of respect of persons. We see the light being reflected from God. We see all of these things, the truthfulness, the helpfulness, coming off of our faces and our lives. When others look at us, they should see God, and God is glorified in this. God is love, so should we be. God is rich in mercy, so had we better be. God cannot lie, neither can we. God is light, God is my helper, and God is not a respecter of persons, but all are equal in the sight of God as they call on Him. We'll leave these thoughts with you this morning. Take a look in the mirror. See what you see. And be honest with yourselves. I know that GQ is not going to call me. It was never part of my life plan. But you know what? I can look in my mirror, and what a wonderful thing it is to see the face of God looking back at me. I'm doing things like I'm supposed to be doing. And that's what we want with this life. As we think about the things that God would have us to transform ourselves into so that we can be God-like, we extend an invitation that was given so many hundreds of years ago to come to Him, to be like Him, to have our sins washed away, and to start this transforming process. If we're outside of God, we can look in the mirror all day long and we can't be with Him when this life is over. But if we're baptized, if we accept Jesus, then we can start the transformation to be like our Father. If there's any way this morning that we can serve you, any questions we can answer, anything that we can do to help, won't you please come forward as we stand and sing the number that Brad's announced.